But it does sound like a gift from heaven, doesn't it, for anyone who's ever had something awkward or nasty or just plain wrong linger online, this ruling from the European Court of Justice. And it's held that people have the right to have that information removed from search engine results. Now, on the very first day that Google offered the service, they had no less than 12,000 requests. And bear in mind that this applies in Europe only. Stilgarian is an independent tech commentator and journalist, and he's with me now. Stilgarian, good morning to you.
Good morning, Genevieve.
Can you outline the case that's created this situation for us?
Well, it's something that's been kicking around in Europe for some time. The idea that we should have a right to be forgotten, that we should be able to, if you like, outgrow information from our past. And if you think about it, we have those kinds of things in our law. For example, if you become bankrupt after a while, that is over and done with. If you commit a crime, you serve your time and then you move on. You know, and all right, it tends not to work so well these days, but the idea is once you have been suitably punished, you have a clean slate and can start again. And so the European Court of Justice has actually ruled that people do have this, as it's being called informally, a right to be forgotten.
Now, those findings only apply in Europe. So will those search results still be available here in Australia or elsewhere?
That's right. And this is where it gets to really, quite frankly, it's all well and good for a bunch of judges in Europe to make a ruling about people's rights, but this just will not work in practice for several reasons. One is that what they've said is that if someone in Europe says that if a Google search result returns things that they don't want online, that it's irrelevant or no longer relevant or it's inadequate or presumably inaccurate, they can ask Google to remove those results from searches done on their European site. So google.fr in France and .de in Germany and so on. But it doesn't affect the results for searches done in other countries or on Google's global.com site, which is loosely assumed to be American.
And of course, Stilgarian, the entries themselves don't disappear. They would be findable in other ways.
That's right. Google, although it's the biggest gorilla in this field, it's certainly not the only search engine. And when you come down even to the micro level, we all still have memories. We all remember and keep track of, hey, if we go to this news site in Spain and look up this terrible story about someone, it's still there. So taking it out of Google simply means that it can't be found if you search on Google on its European sites, but the information is still there.
Now, how would people be able to persuade Google that information was in fact outdated or irrelevant?
Well, this remains to be seen. Google has put a form up online and it asks for, you put up your ID, give us the links to the sites that you don't want to be in the search results and explain why it should be taken down. Google then has to look at that and make a decision. And it's not at all clear yet exactly how those decisions will be made. And because they're getting a new request coming in on that form every 7 seconds, so there's tens of thousands of requests already in the queue. Google's challenge now is to come up with some sort of process that is both fair and consistent, while at the same time doesn't involve them having to employ an army of people. And this is where it will get difficult, because whenever we've had similar situations, say Facebook, is a photograph on Facebook offensive or not? They, of course, sort of subcontract that kind of work out to the lowest paid workers on the planet, pretty much, which means that they're not exactly trained in media law in every single country that Facebook operates in. And there have been, ridiculously inconsistent decisions from time to time.
I mean, it's interesting in a broader context, Stilgarian, because we've had quite a few discussions on 666 Mornings about trolling, for example, and there does seem to be a real change in mood. The premise for years was, if it goes up, that's just your bad luck, you have to cope with it. We seem to be retreating from that. People seem to be saying, no, actually, you don't have the right to put up anything you feel like about me or anyone else.
Well, it is, and that's an understandable backlash. And certainly in previous incarnations of media technology, by which I mean newspapers or broadcasting or whatever, I mean, if I make some outrageous allegation about you right now, you have recourse. You can, well, you can hit the button so that it doesn't go to air if you're quick enough, or you can sue the pants off me later. And we have mechanisms to deal with that. The difficulty is that those mechanisms really don't end up working in practice on the internet, simply because the whole point of the internet is to be this vast repository of all the world's information and knowledge, and to replicate that information quickly and easily so that it isn't lost.
Now, just quickly, Stilgarian, have we had cases in this country that reflect what's just gone on in Europe?
We have indeed, and in fact there's a Melbourne chap by the name of Michael Trakulia who has successfully sued both Google and Yahoo for defamation. The case here is that a few years ago, he was the victim of a shooting. He was sitting in a restaurant and a gunman shot him. Now, he survived. The case was never solved, so we still don't know who shot him. But in the news reporting of this, his photograph and name ended up in news reports that broadly discussed Melbourne gangland shootings. And so his name was associated with Tony Mockbell and all of the other names that people are familiar with from Underbelly and the real-life cases on which they're based. And when people searched for his name online, the result that came up had headlines like Melbourne Underworld Figures and whatever. Now, he sued Google and Yahoo. He won. He's won a total of around $500,000 in damages. But in those cases, he had notified Google and Yahoo, Yahoo being, of course, a news and search site as well as all of the other things it does, but they had not responded to his complaint, so they hadn't acted. So therefore, they were, in a sense, guilty of failing to act, if I can put that informally.
Yes.
Now that Google has a process, well, it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Still, Gary, we've got about a minute for you to explain the Streisand effect to me.
Yes, this is the name for when you wish something not to be noticed on the internet and you start complaining about it and it brings it immediately to everyone's notice. It's named after Barbara Streisand. A geologist was taking photographs of the California coast to monitor the erosion of cliffs. One of the houses in the photographs that were published online was Barbara Streisand. She sued him for loss of privacy, and in fact, within a very short time, instead of a grand total of six people having seen this photograph of Barbara Streisand's house on the internet, it suddenly went to 420,000 people saw the house and now knew that that was where Barbara Streisand lived. Goal, it's called the Streisand effect.
So don't make too much of a fuss, might be the response.
Exactly.
Still, Gary, and great to talk to you. Thank you, as always.
Pleasure, Genevieve, anytime.
Bye-bye. Claire said to me, all I can think of is George Orwell's Winston sitting in his cubicle.